Welcome to I Do, I Did, I'm Done, the podcast about life's challenges and how to handle them. I'm Randy Fincher. I'm a wife, mama, and a wedding planner.
And I'm Henry Fincher, and I'm a trial lawyer.
We're married. This is episode 12, and we're really passionate about speaking things that are important to us. And for me personally, I have several friends who are battling with this issue, and this is about IVF and the state of Alabama. So Henry, take it away before my mama heart starts to preach.
Right. Okay. So in the news, the state of Alabama, their Supreme Court interpreted a state law regarding embryos that were conceived through in vitro fertilization. In vitro fertilization is, of course, a scientific process where human eggs are fertilized with human sperm and the embryos are kept to be placed in the mother or a surrogate later on, in hopes of having a baby. It has greatly assisted couples in having children. I've seen the statistic that 2% of the people alive in the United States today were conceived through in vitro fertilization. So the math on that is really high. I mean, there's 300 million people in the country. So you're talking about 60 million people. That's a lot. And we all probably know somebody who's either gone through the process, going through the process, or considering going through the process. So what happened in Alabama is a couple was divorcing. And what I understand is that one of the parties wanted to destroy the eggs. They didn't want their conceived, and not just the eggs, it's these are embryos, right? So they're conceived and they're frozen and they're held in the frozen bank. And so one party's saying, look, I don't want to have kids born from this union. We're getting a divorce. We need to dispose of the eggs. The other person said, no, I want to keep them. They're my eggs. And I think it was the wife, whatever. They're my embryos, and I want to have kids later with them. And obviously no clear answers to that problem, and yet it ends up in court, and the court's got to decide what to do. And so in Alabama, they had a statewide statement of policy that was sponsored by the Right to Life movement and pursued by that says life begins at conception. And so my understanding of the Alabama Supreme Court is that they ruled that, well, in Alabama, life begins at conception. These are not property. These are people. These are human beings. You can't just destroy them. And so they ruled for the person that said not destroy them. And it sparked a bit of a firestorm across the country because it's ignited a key debate, and it's had a real unintended consequence, I think, from the right to life position, which is life begins at conception, and then it's treading upon an area that I think most people think is acceptable, and that's in vitro fertilization and what to do there. So that's what I understand is the legal parameters.
Well,
of the
and
debate.
I also know for the legal aspect as well is that it says right here also, there are three sets of parents who underwent in vitro fertilization alleged that several frozen embryos at a Mobile hospital were dropped on the floor and destroyed in December of 2020, and the parents sued for damages as well. And I actually have one of my past brides who I planned a wedding in Alabama knew those people.
Really?
And so, yeah, and she shared that with me. So that's another part of the big lawsuit going on that, these parents as a couple, I have friends that have babies that have been born via IVF, and we all have been talking and messaging back and forth. And, our friends in Alabama, sorority sisters, or just friends that we have that are, from the area that moved down to Alabama, we've been texting, and obviously they've asked me, what does Henry think? He's a lawyer. And I'm like, I don't know. Number one, just because you're a lawyer's wife does not mean that I'm a lawyer as well.
Correct.
Yeah. And number two,
I'm not a wedding planner just because I'm married.
I told him, I said, I don't think Tennessee and Alabama obviously had the same laws. So I know things are similar, but
I honestly don't know if Tennessee has something like that. I'd be surprised if we didn't, because Like Alabama, the Republican Party is very much in political ascendancy, and most of the right to life platform has been enacted straight off the presses from them. I mean, it's their major constituent in the Republican Party. Most people in Tennessee, the polls have shown, are pro-life, and I would be surprised if we don't have something like
that. Well, when the people have talked to me about it, they're like, you know, my friend who I'm talking about, she has another friend that's doing IVF. They've been trying for 10 years to have a baby. They were scheduled Friday. And she was like, oh my goodness. She's like, you know, the clinic where they were going to go at, they have said, hey, listen, we are postponing any procedures, any appointments. We don't know what we're going to do with our clinic. We don't know if we're going to be closed down. We don't know if we can even transfer these eggs. But all we can tell you is that if you have an appointment, we will call you to cancel because we just don't know what to do. And our legal team is trying to advise us on what to do. So here's this girl that has gone through the extraction. She's been on all the medication that you have to give all yourself these shots for IVF. You have, you know, not drink. You have to watch what you eat. You have to maintain a certain weight. So they say is best, you know, if you are, you know, because sometimes the medication can make you gain too much weight or lose too much weight. And you're just going through this battle and you finally get to the point. And then she says, Randy, then she heard this and she's like, you know, I can't, she says, you know, I feel like I've been robbed by not meeting the right person in my life. And I've waited this long to finally feel like I can be with someone who loves me. And she said, which was really moving to me, she said her friend told her, I didn't think my state would steal my babies to where I couldn't have a child.
It's awful.
So it just, from a mom aspect, yeah. There's no right or wrong answer. Okay. So if we go through IVF, which we have talked about, and now I'll be honest, I don't know if I even want to do IVF because we would love to have a little boy because we both have girls, but I don't know if I want to go in more depth and do gender selection and do IVF because usually whatever happens in one southern state, it trickles down to all these other southern states. But at the same time, like if I have IVF and I have a baby and I've had a baby via IVF and I've got three more eggs that are good to go, but I only want to have two kids and I've used two of my eggs and I've got one hanging out, I want to have the right to dispose of that egg and it not be passed down to someone else and me have some random kid out in the middle of, you know, BFE and it just end up, you know, in a bad situation. And me as a mother knowing, hey, I only know for us financially, we could, you know, have two kids, whatever. And this third egg, I just want to go ahead and dispose of that because it's just not going to work within our family. I couldn't live with the fact of knowing it would be given to somebody. Like, that's just me. So,
well, yeah. And I mean, what are we going to do? Compel people to carry these embryos and maybe carry them. I answered my own question. As I suspected, Tennessee law does have a statutory provision that says life begins at conception. I'm reading from Tennessee Code 3915-214. It's the criminal code statute. Life begins at conception. And so that's the state policy in Tennessee. Now, would our Supreme Court reach the same conclusion? Quite possibly. Then again, maybe not. They could find some nuance. But this shows the danger of as a former legislator. You know, I used to be in the state legislature. And people, the one tool the legislature has is to pass laws. Well, that's the one tool it has. It's a hammer. And sometimes a hammer is a great tool, right? If you got to drive a nail, a hammer is the right tool to have. But it sucks for brain surgery. And when you need a scalpel, a hammer is not the way to go. And the legislature simply doesn't have a hammer. Now, does that mean they can't pass a law that reflects what the strong will of most Tennesseans are or is? I'm not sure what my grammar is there. But of course, they pass what their people think as best they can, but that's what it says. And so we're going to end up with the same thing, even if the governor says, oh, well, I'm for in vitro fertilization, even if Trump says, oh, I'm for in vitro fertilization. Well, you can be, but you passed a law, guys, that says that you're really not. It's because life begins at conception, and these are lives in these Petri dishes by the law you pass. Now, hell if I know what they are. I'm not a doctor. I don't know that anyone knows when life begins. I know people like bright lines. And so conception, I understand why people gravitate to that. But this shows the challenges of bright lines in what can be a contextual decision. For example, if you view abortion as murder, conception as the moment of life is a clear line to draw, and it makes sense in that if that is the way a person feels. When you're looking at a crime where some dirtbag hurts a pregnant woman and the baby dies, hey, that is that makes sense. It's like we want there to be extra punishment for that. Conception is a great line to draw, but as is the in vitro fertilization issue shows, it's not that great a line for that. Now, do we accept it? So life begins, but then it creates a lot of conceptual problems. Does life begin at conception for abortion, but not for in vitro fertilization?
Well, I think being pro-female and obviously like you've been in legislature. And so, you know, I guess one of my questions, was there a lot of women making these laws, or was it more men?
When I served, there were more men. There were plenty of women that were very influential, though, when I was down there.
Well,
the Speaker of the House was a woman for many years,
I
Beth
think
Harwell.
That's a lot of the problems. Yeah. And, you know, women need to, this is me speaking again. I have a hard time of a bunch of men making these decisions on females' behalf because they're not us. Like, yeah, they create life. They are the sperm, like you and your super sperm over here, as you say, like, you know, they have the sperm, but we're the ones carrying the children. And, you know, babies can't be born in little incubators, you know, from conception. You know, now we have seen how incubators are wonderful. They've helped our daughter survive and live. She should have been growing inside my uterus, but she was out on the outside at 22 weeks and 3 days. And without modern medicine, she wouldn't be here. And, you know, I tell people all the time, being so close to death myself and watching my child who should be growing inside my body, but knowing what scientists and doctors have done, you know, I told one woman, this is what she said. Now, first off, I want people to know, like, I'm a Christian. I believe in God and I believe in higher power. Although I think that God puts desires in people's hearts, and some of those desires are hell to become a doctor. And I look at the doctor that basically took a chance on Maggie and saved her life. And now she's a growing, happy baby with no medical issues that we know of, and we're very blessed. But you sit and you have these, I think that there needs to be more women to speak up, and they need to say, hey, this is what I'm battling. We're trying to have a baby. You know, I've taken one of my friend from Alabama. She said that her friend that's struggling, she says she's taken a lot of acne medication growing up and thinking, oh, you know, acne medicine would help her skin, which it did, but it did a lot of damage to her ovaries. And so that's why they went and they did the IVF. Plus she waited till she was 34 to have children, because she wanted more women are getting established with their jobs, or getting established with who they are as a person, and then trying to settle down and have children later in life, which I think is great. But, you know, as my Aunt Peggy says, your eggs are dying every day. And so you've got women who are like my best friend, Rachel, who's a doctor in Ohio. She's in the process of removing her eggs so she can help.
Does she want that share?
Yeah, she's fine. Okay. She's fine for me to share that, because we talked about it. But she's like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and freeze my eggs, so that way I know that my eggs are healthy. So that way I can potentially have a family. But right now I'm focusing on my husband and my three great stepchildren. So, you know, IVF does more than just allowing people to struggle who are struggling to have families. It also helps people to be able to financially get to where they need to be, so that way they can fully give a child the life that they deserve. And I think as a parent, that's what we all want. We just want our children to have the life that they deserve. And from a mother speaking out, I want to have control over what is came from my body. And if someone told me that I would have to give my eggs away, then obviously, like if I've got 21 good eggs, I physically can't have 21 children, you know? So where are those eggs going to go, you know? And I mentally couldn't handle someone else carrying my child.
Yeah, that's the and that's the problem.
Not that I'm hated on this subject or anything, but it's just a lot to think about and a lot of broken hearts.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like the then what in this is the hard part, right? It's like everybody's like, okay, well, IVF is a good thing. We don't want to stop that. Great. But how do you solve this conundrum where you've got a state law that says this, you know, that life begins at conception. We have conceived, right? We have fertilized embryos over here, and all the problems you've identified are 100% real and unsolvable except for accepting the reality that some of these embryos will need to be disposed of at some point. That's it. So how, or implanted in someone, that's the choices. Don't see, even though the state keeps going farther and farther to the right, I don't see forced implantation in our future.
Well, I mean, let's just talk about how Handmaiden's Tale is starting to come to be.
Blessed be the fruit
under his eye. I mean, seriously, like, you know what I mean? It's getting to a point where we cannot be control. We have no control over the decisions that we want to make for our family going forward because we're too afraid to take those steps because the people who we elect to be in power are making hard decisions that they're not even educated about. And that's my problem with all of it. And I could like mic drop if I could, but this is very expensive. You know,
yeah, I'm just, drop,
but
like,
it's
Luke's
so
mic.
Frustrating yeah. because you see times have changed. Times have changed. You have millennials and Gen Zers who like they're in student debt loan and they're trying to, you know, kill it with their businesses. And then they meet a person later in life or, there are people who just want to have kids by themselves. You know, I always think of that Jennifer Lopez movie that she was in where she just said, screw it. I don't want a man. I'm in a good place. I want to have my own baby. She did IVF and had twins and then ended up, you know, meeting this hunk that she fell in love with. And then he helped raise her children. But I mean, what is right and what is wrong? To me, the right thing is to allow the individual to make the choice for what's best for their family and their bodies. And if someone told me that I would have to give my eggs away, then I guess I would just be pregnant for as long as I could be physically because I wouldn't want anybody else to steal my baby away. But, you know, if that was my option or like if I could just be like, listen, I have two healthy girls. I want to have another baby. And, you know, this is the route I want to go. I've got all these other eggs. I'm good to go. For me, I'd be like, I'm good to go ahead and dispose of those because I'm in a good place with what I've got. That should be for the person.
It will be interesting to see the political steps that are taken to balance this stuff in Alabama and elsewhere. One easy solution, at least in theory, is to carve an exception out to it for the purposes of in vitro fertilization. But if certain key constituents like the Right to Life and other anti-abortion activist groups aren't included, or on the other side, the pro-choice activists oppose it, you're going to see a lot of people noting the contradiction between, so the law says life begins at conception here, but it doesn't begin at conception here. It makes a logical contradiction of the idea that the legislature can truthfully, what's the right word, can make a final decision on such a difficult topic. That was like we were talking about before we even started recording, the Roe v. Wade decision, subject to many, many, many criticisms, did do something. And it was kind of like it kept these issues and more to come as the states become the laboratory for the idea that life begins at conception. It prevented us having to go through all these convulsive debates because there was a constitutional rule that applied to the whole country that said it made up out of whole cloth, pretty much. But it was still the rule before the end of the first trimester, the woman could choose what to do. And it had a practical benefit. Now, it had a lot of people view the abortions that happened under Roe versus Wade as nothing short of murder. My next door neighbors down here at the Catholic Church put out white crosses, and I'm conflicted on the subject. I served during the time that Roe v. Wade prevailed. It was the law. And my position always was I supported all constitutional restrictions on abortion. I had 100% right to life voting record when I got beat. It was also had an A+ in RA rating. It didn't matter. I was a Democrat. I apparently was evil and I had to go. But it was easier, I guess, to, because you didn't have to draw the absolute hard lines that lead to these difficult situations of does life begin at conception? I do not know, and I don't think anybody does. I know a lot of people have opinions, but when does that embryo turn into a baby that deserves our protection? God Almighty, what a hard question.
I think about our world and what we're living in.
I think it's a nuanced one that we have to think about, not just have a hard line.
For our world, I think about what we're living in. For our girls, it's scary. You know, I'm just like, what are they coming into? You know, and also, I look at the topic of conversation and everything that's being said. We have a lot more issues in our entire world to deal with telling someone, oh, wait, you know, we're going to stop your IVF stuff right now because, you know, we're just have our head up our ass and we want to cause a problem today. Yeah. But global warming, financial issues within our country,
national debt, the border,
COVID resurgence, let's do something else.
Infrastructure
we're trying
failing.
To allow other people to
From Nashville to Memphis is horrible.
Let's fix that.
As a former member of the Transportation Committee, I'm appalled. That road needs to be fixed.
Well, anyway, I mean, there's just other things that we can do that can make our world a better place. And it's not going to be telling a mama a mama to be, hey, we're going to stop everything for you. You've been working hard at this for 10 years. You're at a good spot. Oh, wait, we can't do it now. You know, let's use our time wisely and actually do something that's going to make a difference instead of being a dick. So that's how I think about it.
on that note, thank you for listening. If you like the podcast, please go give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a good review. Say something nice. Tell your friends. Tell your family. If you didn't like what you hear, don't tell nobody nothing.